Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Early Years Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm the ECE facilitator for the Durham District School Board. And today I have my friend Jane back with me again for our second podcast together. Hi, Jane.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. So today we're going to do another podcast about STEM, and this time we're going to talk about provocations and inquiry as it has to do with STEM and kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to talk to you again.
Yeah, I think that it's great to have this conversation because I'm sure like you, this is something that comes up quite a bit. I get asked, you know, what are my kids wondering about? And I can recall a really great, very devoted kindergarten teacher saying to me almost in, you know, frustration, my kids aren't wondering about anything. And, you know, I'm trying to get them to inquire, but they just, you know, they're not interested in anything. And I thought, you know, I think that there has to be a better way for us to be able to figure out what they are curious about. How do we get kids to become hooked on wondering? And I think that when we look at provocations, this is a natural way for us to begin thinking about moving into authentic inquiry.
Yeah, I know when I was in the classroom for the past couple of years, you just get so immersed in your classroom life and you're trying to pull these wonders out of the children in your room, and you just sometimes just don't know where to go with it anymore. And this is just going to be a podcast about starting there and how we can bring that wonderment out of the students in our room.
So an image that I think helps us to talk about how we might knit together this idea of provocation and inquiry is one that knits together three key concepts, and it relates to STEM. The first concept is tinkering. We all tinker. If you've ever watched people in a meeting and they're trying to keep their minds focused on what they're doing, they might doodle. That's a form of tinkering. They might take their pen apart. I'm not sure what the obsession is with taking your pen apart, but I've watched lots of students do this over the years. But what they're doing when they're beginning this tinkering is they're developing a relationship with the topic. And in kindy, this is a natural thing that we might see from our loose parts tray.
Yep.
That kids begin to tinker and explore. And from that, they might develop their own wonderment and their own creativity. And it's capturing that moment. The minute that they start to wonder, that's where the inquiry is going to take root. So the example that I like to give is a teacher who put out some marbles in her loose parts. And the kids got looking at the marbles. And then all of a sudden it was who could get the marble to go the furthest, and who could get the marble all the way across the room became this challenge that these young learners were having. And boom. We were talking about motion, we're talking about how we're going to get the marble to go the furthest. All of a sudden, the kids were talking about ramps. Could they get the marble to go down a ramp? Would that make it go further? And this whole idea of motion and rolling led us to the idea of, well, where could we use this in everyday life? So that led us to the wheel. And wheels are on trikes and bikes and inline skates and cars and so many forms of transportation. So we moved from tinkering to making, and the kids began learning about the whole idea of motion and the science of motion, new vocabulary words. Could they build something that used the concept of rolling just like the marble? Or could they use the marble and incorporate it into a device that moves? So that was really exciting. And then from there, that brought them into the innovation piece that you see here, the other cog of the wheel, where they were prototyping and building these little cars, building moving objects. Some of them built an inline skate. And they were looking at what could they do to further their learning. They were inspired. And so when I think of STEM, I think of how all those cogs that you see in this image turn together.
Uh-huh.
And they move from inquiry, that questioning, that play, into making, creating, and innovating, and refining and iterating around an idea.
Yeah. And so as a teacher in the classroom with your students, I see your role as just more so getting out of the way of their tinkering process, observing what they are tinkering with, observing what they're interested in learning about, noticing and naming some of that STEM learning that's happening, some of the vocabulary that they could start using, and then just expanding on what they're doing, just even with loose parts or whatever it is in the classroom.
Yeah. And I think too, once you've caught them in the act of wondering,
mm-hmm.
it becomes much easier to knit in or to weave in some books that might be nonfiction or fiction related. And I find that it only takes a couple of kids to get the other kids excited. Some people have said to me, oh, well, not all kids wonder about the same thing. But I think that wonderment is infectious and it is contagious. Mm-hmm. And once you get that catalyst for learning happening, they'll come along. They are equally curious. It might not have been their first choice, but at the same time, they are eager. Yeah. And I think that when we knit together that whole group learning and that opportunity for design, it can be a lot of fun and it can be something that's very inclusive with lots of entry points for kids. I brought an activity with me today. It's one I've done with kids that are very, very young and kids that are very old, like teachers at workshops. And it was very simple in the idea that it involves a balloon that is strapped onto a cup and the bottom of the cup is removed. And then a marshmallow is placed inside and you pull it back like a slingshot. And how far does it go? For schools where food insecurity is a very real consideration, I try to shy away from using food, and pom-poms work perfectly well. In fact, that could even be part of your inquiry in your loose parts. Once you've tried it with a pom-pom, what else works? As long as it's mutually agreed on that you're, you know, firing in the same direction, no shots above the head, and we don't intentionally aim for our classmates. But it's a great activity that causes that wonderment and that design to take place. And what I've usually said to kids is, okay, I'm going to show you something and then I want to see what you can do. Can you make one like mine? And then we move further from that as we go from tinkering with it to get it to work to making a design and then a prototype to improving it. How do we get kids interested? So one of the things that I've done is I've told kids, okay, I'm going to make you an employee of Earth Toys. It's just a design that I made up. But the idea is that now they're creating for a purpose, and that seems to give it more weight. Mm-hmm. So they are employees of a toy company, and they have to develop a way to make this toy work consistently and for it to be fun, and they can create it with lots of designs. I love washi tape. I find that they go crazy for the washi tape. So you might want to, you know, just have that out for the final product as opposed to the prototypes. But they love to create colorful, beautiful imaginings. And some students choose to do this where they put the balloon over the top of the cup. Some students cut the bottom off the cup. There's lots of ways to make it. But the goal is simple and the goal unifies us. And then it's sort of seeing how they take up this challenge and how they move into design thinking. And I think that design thinking is part of this provocation. How do we get kids to wonder about something and then to come up with a problem? How do they take on a challenge? So design thinking is where you would define a problem. In this case, it's how far can we make a pom-pom go with a popper? They're going to do a plan. Really important, even when they are not yet experienced with writing tools, that you get them to try. Mm-hmm. Even if they color the plan completely with a yellow crayon, if they can articulate the plan to you as they're showing you their drawing, they are connecting thought and they are connecting communication. Then down with the make a model, that's where you might actually have them build the popper and they get to test it. And then the reflect and redesign is the most fun, where they watch it go, but they think it could be taped more securely. And it's getting them through those rich questions of, oh, you want more tape? Show me how you're going to use that. Or I like that yours went really far. But you were shooting it up in the air. What would happen if you changed the way you hold the cup? These are all great provocations that we can ask them as they're moving through their learning. And sometimes teachers need help with that too, because, you know, we have lots of learners and lots of things going on. And I love that you acknowledge that, because the job of the teacher is so diverse. So sometimes we need a little help. So the other piece I brought along today is called the Q Matrix. While this is nothing new, I find sometimes it's a nice reminder. I actually developed a set of dice that I made out of cardstock so kids could learn to roll questions. It was with a slightly older group than kindy. But these were the questions that we were thinking about asking. So you would combine who can show me their popper. That might be a lower level question. But you could then turn that around to, why would we want to hold the cup like this instead of like this? And have them begin to tell you these higher level order thinking answers. So the Q Matrix is a valuable prompt for you. It might be something to put on a clipboard as you're walking around the room and challenging yourself to ask some really rich questions of your learners. So I love the Q Matrix. And, you know, from there, I think in terms of the provocation for the kids, it's almost also a provocation for us. Where are we going to take our kids on this journey? And how can we do that by putting out ideas? And I love that you said getting out of the way. What will they do? Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. with what it is that we have put out, and they steer the inquiry, and that authentic inquiry grows out of things that you watch them doing.
I love this cue matrix, because I find that I sometimes get caught up in the just tell me what this is. Like, what are you making? That really basic question that you can ask that students can answer with maybe one or two words, to moving into those more complex questions that really makes them think and pause and really extends their thinking in a new way. And so I love this cue matrix where it has all these questions. And I love the idea of putting it on a clipboard or putting it in the classroom somewhere, putting it on dice, so that you're prompted to ask these questions. And then the students are also starting to get prompted to ask the questions of themselves while they're working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a really fantastic way to get more of that questioning in our classrooms.
Mm-hmm. So the last thing that I wanted to talk about is something that comes up with teachers across the system. And it doesn't matter what division you're in, this is constantly something that I get asked. And that's, you know, I want my kids to inquire, but I want it to come from them, but I don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Smarter Science. They are a nonprofit organization, and they created resources Canada-wide. They are available in English and French. And what I love about them is that they scaffold the process for the teacher and the learner. So you'll notice here there are three posters. In the first poster, you'll notice there are some pictures. They are sight, smell, sound, touch, and taste. And where you may not want to do a whole lot of taste in your room as an observation, it is one of the five senses that we can get kids making observations about. So that's the first column that you'll see in the first poster. The second one with the large green question mark simply says wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done with students is to show them something like the popper, like the pom-pom popper, and then have them make an observation. And I give every child a post-it note that is blue, and every child gets a post-it note that's yellow. The idea is that they're two different colors. And I want them to do two things. The first thing is I just want them to tell me what they saw, what they heard, what they smelled, what they touched, or what they tasted. In the case of the pom-pom poppers, not taste. But they are able to do this. And for our littlest who aren't able to write yet, drawing a picture on the post-it note is acceptable of what they saw. And they are all capable of telling you that. And then they get to come forward to this poster. I made them on 11 by 17 ledger, mm-hmm. and I just put them along the whiteboard in the room.
And we'll put some links so you can download your own.
And they are free to download and print.
Mm-hmm.
And they are beautiful if you laminate them.
Yeah.
They look really good. Anyway, I've put them on the ledge of the whiteboard and simply had students come up and put their post-it notes on top. And if someone said the same thing they did or made a similar observation, I've had them come up. So you might structure it like this. Can you tell me your observation? And one child will share. How many others made a similar observation? We're going to have Jameson come forward and put his observation at the front. And then everyone else, would you put your post-it note if it's the same on top of Jameson's? And now we have a structured sort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful to get them seeing all the different kinds of thinking. And you move to who else still has a post-it note. Let's get those post-it notes up here. For our littlest, they can simply point to the images at the top. If they're not ready yet to say, I saw, they can say by pointing,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can say the pom-pom went up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing you by touching the eye, yes, I saw something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're learning to create the idea of that sight is an observation or that sound is an observation. Some of the students might hear the sound of the pop,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote that down. So I love that this poster gets them thinking about observations. The wondering part is even more exciting when you get them to think about, well, what's something that you're curious about? And we're all curious. And when I worked with the teacher that I mentioned at the top of the podcast, that she was concerned that her kids just weren't wondering about anything, this was a revelation to her in using this structure, that they had tons of things they were wondering about, but maybe it was the way in which she was trying to access it before that she wasn't getting that authentic piece. So simply, again, having them draw a picture on a post-it note or write a word and come up to the front and do another structured sort. So that's the first poster. The second poster allows you to plan for an experiment where you ask them, hey, let's watch the pom-pom popper again. What's something that we could measure or that we could count about this event? And of course, they might come up with how far it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And they might come up with the time that it takes for the pom-pom to go spring and land on the ground. So you could count with time. They might need some help with this part, but that's all part of the rich learning. Okay. And so at the bottom, after you've decided how you're going to measure the event, the purple thatched box simply says, what could you change about the event Now this is where it gets exciting, because kids could say, well, we don't have to use pom-poms. We could use something else. And so now they're learning to explore that they're changing maybe the weight of the object. They're going from a pom-pom to a piece of paper that's been rolled up, or maybe it's a small little tiddlywinks that you have in your loose parts jar, and you set apart some, you know, regulations around how they could test this or what they might test, but they can come up with all kinds of things. Maybe they change the size of the cup. I've often put out a whole selection of cups and they can change the cup. And finally, it's maybe for your first time out, and I strongly encourage this, it's having everyone try the same experiment before you just let them go off and try an experiment of their choice. Practice this structure a few times before you go to more of an open inquiry. But everyone decides on the thing you will change, and everyone mutually agrees on the thing that you'll measure. And that's the third poster that you see. And at the bottom, you list all the things that need to stay the same. This is where that scientific rigor comes in, that the experiment is fair. Mm-hmm. It's also a chance to talk about fairness. And I love incorporating social emotional learning into the classroom so that it's an opportunity to talk about what does fair mean? Mm-hmm. How do we keep things fair? How do we keep things fair between us as partners if we're doing it as partners? All those rich social emotional skills that are a part of STEM. In our previous podcast, we talked about 21st century global competencies. Mm-hmm. This is a chance to engage that conversation as we plan our experiment and we get ready to do it together.
Yeah, I love these posters. And this is the first time I've seen Smarter Science. So when I was looking at the website, I also noticed that they have a lot of STEM activities and provocations that you can print out and have at the ready. So if you are looking for more ideas of things to do in your classroom, they have some great ideas on there. And again, we'll link that in the show notes or the description of this podcast so that you can take a look at this website, because it has some fantastic ideas.
Yeah, they're called STEM cards or provocation cards, and they are for all levels. But, you know, just looking at them, I think it's the brilliance of the teachers to be able to say, you know what, that might be intended for a primary audience, but I can see how I would change that or modify that for my learners. Yep. And I feel very strongly that the workshops that I do, I often can run with kids that are much, much older or much, much younger. And it's all in the delivery. And that's the magic and the gift of the teacher and their expertise that helps them to be able to shape that learning.
Yep.
So the last thing that you might notice here is something that was intended for the pom-pom poppers in a primary classroom. Chose to include it here because these might be ways for you to engage your learners in rich thinking using sentence stems. So you'll notice that the first stem says, I created a. So you might turn to your learners and say, what did you create? And they will respond with, I created a. And then it's an opportunity for you to document some of the learning. The same thing with, I thought it would. What did you think it would do? I thought it would. And they respond back to you. So the sentence stems that you see here are what the learner might say back to you. Mm-hmm. And you can give them that opportunity to communicate their thinking and their learning and their wondering through some rich ways of analyzing the experience that they've had. And that's a very rich scientific principle, the idea of documenting and thinking about and wondering about. And you'll notice simply the last prompt is, I learned.
And this is a great way for as educators to document the student learning that's happening in the classroom too. We've talked about pedagogical documentation before on this podcast and making sure that we are noticing and naming the learning, but then documenting the learning that we're seeing. So if we have these prompts available for whatever, if you're using pencil and paper, we've talked about using OneNote and we've talked about using D2L before. So making sure that you're using these prompts and documenting all the amazing learning that's happening in the classroom while you're doing the STEM learning it's just a great way to connect it all together.
Yeah. The last thing I just wanted to say is that you can extend the learning, right? Once they've done it once, they might have some ideas that they want to take on their own. They want to design a better pom-pom popper, or they want to use different materials, and they're beginning to come to you and they're saying things like, can I use a toilet paper roll? Mm-hmm. Right? And now you're saying, well, why do you want to use a toilet paper roll? Because, and they have thinking that they are doing around choosing a different material. So I love the idea of a design challenge, which is, okay, we built a pom-pom popper with a cup. How would you build your own? How would you make it better? What would you change? And that gets back to the design thinking, where they're thinking about the problem, which is building a better toy. Perhaps they're looking at flight. They're looking at the device that's going to fly. They're looking at their design and what materials are available. All things that are a part of the design thinking process. And then they get to prototype and test. And I think that the more we can get kids iterating around and creating around their own inventions, the greater the buy-in. They have often not wanted to pack up. When I say it's time to pack up, that's a bit of a heartbreak because they're so excited. And I think that that's when you know you've got them, right? Yeah. That excitement is so rich and so genuine.
And I think it is important to let them return to their learning at a later date too. Mm-hmm. I know even as an adult, I need some time to process things sometime, and I need time to leave a problem and come back to it at a later date. So having this extended over a few days, it would be really beneficial to our, to the children, because they might be thinking about it, or they might have different experiences, or they might be playing outside and come up with a new idea. So allowing that time to come back to their creations, come back to their designs, is really important as well.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The last thing that I thought I'd share with people around provocations is a simple connection that we can all make to STEM, and that's around careers. You know, if you ask kids what they want to pursue when they're older, they often get asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. Which is not a question I particularly love, but it's frequently asked. Mm-hmm. There are six top professions, and the seventh is always whatever their parents do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than the firefighter, the police officer, the astronaut, the teacher, the veterinarian, what else? And I think that we can, as teachers, begin to say, well, let's learn what a materials scientist does. Let's talk about that. We've been using materials. Mm-hmm. How could we build a better pom-pom popper? And what would a material science, a scientist tell us about building a better pom-pom popper? Perhaps it's a quality control analyst. What does that have to do with what we've been doing? Well, it's ensuring that all the pom-pom poppers work really well, and that if we are a toy company, that, you know, we're ensuring our product is safe for use with kids. There are just so many pieces. These are a few on this slide that you'll see here. Just making connections between their everyday lives and the world of work. We know that the jobs that these kindies will have by the time they finish high school and even post-secondary, they don't exist yet. 85% of the job market's going to be what we can't even predict, mm-hmm. to be fair. So can we give them the skills that will allow them to transition between any of those opportunities? I think it's vital. And this is just one simple way that we begin to weave in some of those conversations other than, you know, I want to be a doctor when I grow up, right? And there's nothing wrong with being a doctor. I certainly don't want to disparage doctors, but I just feel that we have to prepare our kids for the opportunities that they don't themselves even anticipate.
Yeah, giving them those opportunities in the classroom to problem solve and innovate, well, setting that foundation for them now will help them so much more when they grow up and they're doing these jobs that I can't even think of what they will be doing when they're older. So yeah, it's really preparing them for the life that they have ahead of them.
Yeah. The last thing I just wanted to say is that there's a great little book if you're interested and you are looking for a way to begin some of this journey. You're looking for ways to begin the provocation to inquiry. It's called Tinker Lab. It's written by Rachel Dorley, and it's 55 playful experiments that encourage tinkering, curiosity, and creative thinking. The book's divided into four categories around creativity, design, building, and concocting, which is fabulous for all of those budding chemists out there, because my background's chemistry. I guess I naturally was drawn to that section of the book. But I love her approach, and I love that the approach is constantly about what does a provocation look like that gets kids to then wonder, and from wonder to learn.
Yeah, I really loved looking through this book, and it just sparks so many ideas for myself and some of the materials that can be put into a Tinker Lab and things that would provoke the curiosity of the students in our classrooms. And I think it's just another way for us to think about inquiry in our classrooms, and just an avenue into it. If you are either hitting a wall or in a rut with inquiry in your classroom, you're not sure where to go next, this is just a great way to spark that curiosity, even in ourselves as teachers. I really love looking through this book. So thank you, James, so much for joining us again for this podcast. I think we have one more coming up with you, and I'm really excited about that one too. And so if you are listening to this podcast and you want to hear more from us, make sure you are subscribed, and so that you can be updated with all future episodes. And so thank you so much for joining us for the Early Years podcast.